What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
I want to teach from a subject today, and we're still in the river series, but I want to teach from a subject today. It's time to move. And I prayed all this week, and when I tell you, God would not speak anything to me until Friday night. I was sitting in here, and the Lord began to speak to me what he desired to say on the day, just gave me the scripture text to start from. And shortly after he gave me that scripture text, then the man of God that was preaching actually referenced the scripture. Amen. I said, well, thank you, God, for confirmation. So this is a really fresh word. Like 10 o'clock last night, finishing a fresh word. Amen. I never prepare a word at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. Amen. We believe in preparation here at Love Alive Church. But sometimes when God is trying to do something significant or vital, then the Lord needs us to be specially plugged in to what he wants to say. And when I'm speaking today, you'll understand what I mean by that. Because some of you, you have your set times that you want to talk to God, and that's good. Because you do need to fit God into, now I would say you need God to be in your schedule, not fit him into your schedule. You need him to be in your schedule. Some of you don't even have him scheduled at all. Amen. That's the first error that we got to correct with some of you in the room. You don't even have God in your day. Amen. You're doing everything else, but then you want to come to God when you're frustrated. And God say, can we have a conversation on a regular day when you don't have nothing going on? You know how you have that friend that every time they call, they got all the drama every single time. God be tired of some of y'all. Amen. I'm here to tell you the truth today. But God took me to this scripture in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 8. He says, now Elijah, who was from Tishba in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Now, this is the scripture that was a preface to what I preached last week. Remember, I preached on last week and I talked about a wave is coming. And the scripture in the 18th chapter is when he begins to tell the man, he said, go out and look. He said, for I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. But it all started with a prophetic word first, where he declared that no rain was going to come for a period of time. Amen. And they did not have to believe what God was saying. Amen. They didn't have to believe it for God to do it. Because once a prophetic voice speaks in the earth, whatever comes out of their mouth will manifest. Amen. And I'm telling you that there have been so many prophetic declarations in this church, and not one of them have fallen to the ground. So you can sit there and be stupid and not believe what God is saying, what he has said, what he's about to say to you today. You can leave. But once I say what God told me to say, you can book it. It shall come to pass. Oh, I'm confident. I'm confident that not a word that I'm going to speak that God said is going to fall to the ground, because I don't just fit God into my schedule. I adjust around God. Whatever God is saying, when the Lord says, I need to talk now, God, I'm adjusting. Where you want me to be? I'm aligned. I'm already in the message. Whoo! Then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide by Kerith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. Drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. So Elijah did as the Lord told him, and camped beside Kerith Brook, east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, here we, I gotta stop right there, because what we have is God speaking something, Elijah obeying, and then God doing. God spoke, Elijah obeyed, God did. Let me give you the order again. God spoke, Elijah obeyed, God did. I'm gonna give you the order one more time. God spoke, Elijah obeyed, God did. Amen. And so when God begins to speak to you, your assignment is to do what? Obey. God's assignment is to what? Do. That's the order of manifestation. God speaks, you obey, God does. God speaks, you obey, God does. God can't get to the doing because most of you won't obey. And if we be honest, many of you have not even heard what he's spoken because you have no relationship. And you come to church every Sunday, and this is a part of God speaking to you, so I'm not trying to cancel it out. But you are depending only on me for a word from the Lord. That is error, and it's out of order. Oh, I'm going to rebuke today, and then I'm going to clean you up, amen. Cut you all up and bandage you at the same time. Because it is error, and it is less than elementary for you to only depend on the words out of my mouth for you to hear from God. And some of you have been in the faith for 20 years and still sucking on milk because you haven't grown any teeth, because you have gotten yourself in the ability to chew the word. You're never going to be able to chew the word if you don't develop a pattern of going to God. If you don't study the word, you're not going to understand it. We got to get out of this basic lifestyle. I read my scripture for the day. Did you understand it? Did you do any digging? Did you see what God was saying to you in that scripture? Did you look above it and after it? Did you read the chapter before and the chapter after? Do you have a clear understanding of what the word was saying? If God directed you to a scripture, what is he directing you to do with it? See, we got to get out of this little religious lifestyle where we read one scripture a day and we say our blessing, our grace over our food, and we think that's a relationship with God. So God spoke, Elijah obeyed, and God did. It says the ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Somebody shout out, it's time to move. Come on, say, it's time to move. When God speaks, you have a responsibility to move with God. The one thing that I can tell you has been the strength of my life, and my wife would come up here and she would testify to all of it. Matter of fact, she sat in front of the pastors about, what, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and she talked about me for a minute. I said, oh, girl, you bucking me up real good. Amen. Let's go home. Hallelujah. Some of y'all gonna catch that when you get home. It went whoop. But she said to them, she said, one thing I can say about my husband, in all the time that I have been with him, before marrying him and being married to him, she said, he has never, ever, 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 ever. I don't know how many evers she got. She said so many evers. I looked at her and I said, you got any more evers? Amen. She said, he has never, ever, ever led me wrong. I have a lifetime of movement because I have a life that is submitted and yielded to God. And one thing about me moving with God, no one can turn me away from what I know that God has said. And that's the problem with many of you, because God speaks to you and you let interference come in the middle of what God has said, and then they begin to speak to you and you move. I'm gonna get to that later. Amen. Let me jump back in. So we see a few key components. First, we see the prophet made a declaration with confidence that the word he spoke will come to pass as he spoke them. Secondly, we see his sensitivity to hear God concerning the vital steps to survival. See, the word that he was receiving was key to his survival. The place that he had to be in was key to his survival. If he did not make it to the proper place at the proper time, he was not guaranteed to live. Woo! Some of your spiritual survival is connected to a move. Some of your purpose surviving is connected to a move. And you think that it's just a cute word from the Lord, but God said, I see death ahead if you don't move. I see destruction ahead if you don't move. I see chaos ahead. If you don't move, something is about to overtake you. You better get out the way. I see something about to fall on you. The enemy's trying to destroy you, but it's time to move. In a moment, I love this because this is a vital step for survival. Not only was this instruction directional, but more importantly, these steps determine whether or not he would survive the season he was in. In a moment where others were positioned for struggle, his sensitivity to God positioned him for survival. Now, this is vital to us as a believer because in a moment where the world is experiencing turmoil, our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit can position us to navigate it with strength, stamina, and sustainability. I don't care what the economy is doing. I don't belong to the economy of this world. As a matter of fact, every time there's been an economic turnout, I've gotten a promotion. Every time salaries have been frozen, I've gotten more money. Ask my wife about it. When they wasn't paying nobody more, they gave me 2 5-figure raises. I'm not obligated to this economy. I'm in the kingdom. So I don't care what chaos is erupting in the world. It has no control over what God is going to do in me. And that's your problem a lot of times. You get all scared when you see something happening in the world because you forget who you belong to. You start looking. You think billionaires care about the economy going down? Baby, their bills paid. They got what they want. They ain't thinking about you. And my Father has more than any man on this earth. And he has a responsibility to me. And that's why I trust in Matthew 6 where it says, take no thought for tomorrow. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what would you wear. I don't even think about it. God's got it. My wife has seen me declare crazy stuff in the craziest of times. When I first declared, that was back in 2008. And they had a salary freeze at my credit union. And I came in and I told my wife, the Lord said I'm going to get a 5-figure raise. And she looked at me, she said, is anybody else getting raises right now? I said, no, it's a salary freeze. But God said, I'm going to get a 5-figure raise. She said, okay. I went to work. And when they tried to, now, I don't advise everybody to do like I do. You better have a word from the Lord. Don't you go in there and say, Pastor Roe told me to come in your office and say, no, he did not. Pastor Roe had a word from the Lord first. I sat down with my supervisor at the time, and she gave me what my raise was going to be. It was $4,000. Does $4,000 sound like 5 figures? Some of y'all would have shouted, amen, hallelujah, it's a salary freeze. I got $4,000. I looked at her and said, that's not going to work. She looked at me and said, you said what? I said, that's not going to work. You can go to the HR department and figure out what you're going to come back with, but that is unacceptable. I sure did. I came home and I told my wife, because they didn't figure it out that day. She was startled, like, I can't even believe you. Amen. You don't have to, but you better run me my coins. Amen. I came back about a day later. They came back to the T. They came back and said, well, we went and worked it out. We decided we're going to give you $6,000 more than that $4,000. So it's a $10,000 raise. Does that sound like 5 figures to you? Yeah. 2 months later, they called me back in the office and they said, we have a position for you. It's a promotion. We want you to take on this job. And by the way, it comes with a $13,000 raise. God gave me 2 5-figure raises in a time where there was a salary freeze. I'm not married to what's going on in the world's economy. Because when God says it's time to move, I'm ready to go. God speaks. What do? And God does. See, some of you are trying to do God's part. God speaks and you try to do. And you haven't obeyed. He spoke and he told you how it was going to happen. He gave you instruction. He said, Abraham and Sarah, I got seed for you. It's coming through you. And then they went all easy. Well, it ain't happened yet. When I gonna do it? That's how y'all be, a bunch of children. When you gonna do it, God? Come on. God said, when you gonna do what I told you to do? I don't want to get too graphic, but they might not even been doing all the things they were supposed to do. Somebody might have had a headache too much. Amen. And you want God to move. They tried to create something, and what they created was chaos. What they created was ongoing confusion. What they created was calamity in their lives. What they created was something that they no longer wanted to deal with. And when you're not obedient to God, his way, his will, his plan and process, what you will create for yourself will be foolishness when God wants to give you his best. For Elijah to know the instruction of the Lord, he had to first be intimately connected to God to hear, know, and understand his voice. You will not understand the voice of God with no correction. But beyond the hearing, he had to be committed to obedience. Many times we struggle to position ourselves to hear from God. We'd rather have our ears tickled by words from someone else, even if it isn't God, instead of just connecting to hear God for ourselves. We got these people in our lives, and some of this is good. Don't get me wrong. I'm not rebuking all of this, okay? But you know how you got your standard prayer partner, and they're a bigger voice in your life than your spouse? That's out of order. You got your standard prayer partner, and they're a bigger voice in your life than the leader God called you to submit to? It's out of what? Try me with the word. God has an order to how he moves. Now, I'm not saying your prayer partner can't speak, but if it don't line up with what your spouse is saying, unless your spouse don't know the Lord, you out of order. I don't even know why I'm there. Maybe because you're on the marriages. You're out of order if any relationship in your life is above your spouse. It's out of order. That is not the Bible. Amen. So, God want to deal with marriages today, huh? This weak and childish dependent Christianity must go. It's okay to be drinking milk as a baby, but some of you should be able to chew solid spiritual food at this point. And you have to allow God to grow you up. The most dangerous thing to do is to get stuck in a place where God is no longer in. It's dangerous to be parked in a place that God has left. Because when you're stuck somewhere that God is no longer in, then you are removed from the protection of God. When you're stuck in a place that God is no longer in, you're removed from the power of God. Now, moving suggests that God is either altering a trajectory or pushing you further into the one that's already established or you're aware of. When God says it's time to move, either God is saying go deeper in what I've already shown you, or God is adjusting the route. Amen. He's altering the trajectory. When he's ready to move you, then God said it is time for you to get comfortable with something you did not expect. Amen. The alteration of a trajectory is where most people struggle. When you were moseying along with the last thing God told you to do, you're like, I got it this time, God. You see me? Look at me, I got it. And God said, okay, now turn left. You're like, wait a minute, God. It's hard for people who don't like change, who don't like to evolve, to move with God. Some of us are more just open to change, right? By nature, I'm a person open to change. I love innovative environments. So to be innovative, you've got to be a person that's open to constant change. So I'm open to it. But I realize that some people struggle. It's not a bad thing. They have to be the steady, constant people. Amen. That's my wife. Amen. I'm always like, we need her. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And she's like, wait a minute. Slow down. I don't know. She does that over everything. Every house we buy, I don't know. I don't know. I'm so nervous, Renata. Every school she went to, I don't know, it's my first year here. I'm so nervous. I was like, but you talked about the other school every day. I don't care. I don't know. She say, move on. It's time to move. Amen. You know, but what you don't realize is that what feels like an adjustment for you is not an adjustment at all to God. He has known all along where he wants to take you. And so sometimes God is just trying to get you where he's trying to get, where he has already planned for you to go. Amen. The Lord has done this so much in the Word of God. I love this scripture in Genesis, the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 4. It says, the Lord has said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old and he left Haran. Literally, God said, I know you've been in a place. You've been there. You've been comfortable. You're 75. How many people want to move at 75? Right? At 75, you're thinking, how can I just stay? Amen. How can I be
comfortable. And God is saying to him, I got something much bigger for you. I know that you're getting into your old age and some people have counted you out. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody in the room. I know some people said this is your season to go into the sunset, but I got a new light that I want to breathe in you. I got new power that I want to breathe in you. I got new authority that I want to raise up in you. And if I'm going to do it in you, Abram, you don't even know I'm going to change your name before it's all done. But if I'm going to do it in you, then you got to move. Somebody shout, it's time to move. This was a trajectory altering moment for Abram. God knew a nation needed to be birthed that would require both a change in location and eventually a name change for the soon to be Abraham. We don't even think about Abram, because when God changes you and changes your name, even the identity that God brings you into is what people are going to end up remembering you by. And when you're in the moving season, everybody's not ready to know you differently. But trust, when God finishes doing what he's going to do, they will know that it was God who did it. Imagine if he would have remained stuck out of convenience or comfort. Maybe we would be reading about someone else who's the father of many nations. Your stagnancy could put your whole purpose at risk. Your whole purpose could be at risk because you chose to remain in the last place that God spoke to you about. When God told Elijah to go to the brook, he moved there. But when it dried up and God was done in that place, he said, now go over to Zarephath because there's a widow there that's going to feed you. Now you can sit up here at this dried up brook, but you're going to die right here. If you want to continue to grow, if you want to continue to live, if you want to continue to move forward, get up out of here and go where I told you to go. Comfort with the unfamiliar is a vital part of birthing big in God. Comfort with the unfamiliar is a vital part. When I tell you that I live a life of the unfamiliar, every time I think that I'm about to get comfortable in a season, God say a new season is here. What? We just got comfortable in this season. God said a new season. Even with this whole church, God had us in the theater. Crazy season. Amen. 300 seats, 30 people. Amen. Can't get no crazier than that. But that's where God said to be in that moment. Now, if we would have moved out of there too premature, we might have died. If we moved to the wrong place, we might have died. But we stayed there until God was done there. And God spoke to us in November of that year to my wife and I that he was going to move us to a new place. It was April when we got into that place. Some of you would have thought that it was going to be December and you would have rushed to a place that God did not lead you to. But the sensitivity that we had to God had us to wait until God did it. Amen. It was so crazy. The building that we went into, God had spoken to us that it was ours. Some other church got in there. Another church got in there. I said, well, how are you going to let a church that you told us to go to, how are you going to let somebody else get in that building? Amen. They tried to be in our territory. God pushed them out of there. They had 2 weeks of services and couldn't last. Because they were in a place that God didn't move them into. See, you don't have to worry about the place God has prepared for you, baby. If somebody else tries to get in your spot, God will kick them out of there because they won't be able to be in the place that God has called you to. So God put them out. Then the other church that was previously there started thinking, we might start a church and stay in here. The pastor thought he was going to intimidate me because I called him. He was supposed to give us an answer on a Thursday. We were looking at another building. We were going to lose the deal on it on a Tuesday. I called the pastor and I said, can you give me an answer today? He said, no, I cannot. He said, so if you're going to lose that building, I said, I just suggest you go sign that lease with him. I said, well, I'm not going to sign that lease. I will wait till you call me and let me know about this building. Amen. And if God wants us to be in the other building, then he will hold it open. But I feel compelled to this one. He called me early the next morning. He said, God wrestled with me the whole night. He told me if I didn't get out of this building that he was going to do something to me, because this is not the place that I'm supposed to be in. This is for Love Alive Church. Get out of our building. When we came to look at this building, do you know the first week we looked at it? They said, we just entered a contract with somebody else. I said, I don't care. I'm used to God ushering people out of places that belong to me. Amen. I'll be waiting on a phone call. It wasn't a couple of days later they called and said, something fell through with that other deal. You still want to talk? Uh-huh. Because this is ours. Somebody shout out, it's time to move.
Notice God didn't even tell Abram where he was going. He simply said, move and I'll show you along the way. Whoo, some of you are trying to delay mobility because you think God owes you a full roadmap before you move. That is error. God does not owe you a roadmap. He will give you direction, but you must keep yourself in a place of constant submission. If you desire to remain in the place of God's presence, his provision, his power, his purpose, and his promise. The strength of my life is God saying move, and I say where? God said move, and I say where? God said move, and I say I'm going where you want me to go. Yes, Lord. Psalms 37:23, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. I was reading 2 Kings, the 2nd chapter, verse 9 and 10. It says, when they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I can do for you. Remind you can come before I'm taken away. And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor. You have asked a difficult thing. Elijah replied, if you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. What does this tell me? Proximity matters. Not being in the right place at the right time could cost you your purpose. It could cost you your mantle. Who would Elisha be to us if he weren't in the right place at the right time? He had to learn how to move with his leader if he wanted to receive what was on him. Oh, this is the Bible. This is the word of God. See, because even in the house, when God speaks to a leader and he says, move, God doesn't have to show you. Amen. You have a responsibility for a yes. God has to give vision to who he has called to see. Woo, some of you would have missed the mantle because you would have rolled your eyes when he told you to get what he has. You have to stay closely connected to him. Who are you? But you want what he got. Somebody would have expected him to come out and say, well, lay hands on me now. Release me into my call right now. He said, you can have it if you move with me. Now be careful. Because as God is instructing you in this season, oh, I know some of you feel that stirring in your spirit right now. You know that God has been challenging you. This is a growth season. This is a growth season. This is a growth season in the things of God. This is a growth season in purpose. This is a growth season in your life. I believe that you're going to experience more abundance in your life in this season than you ever have before. I believe God's going to push people out of properties. I believe God's going to push people out of positions. I see promotions. I see raises. I see houses. I see land. I see all of that. But more important than the things that God has given you, what I see is a relationship that you're going to have with God. And you will have such a sensitivity that when you move, you will see the freedom and the liberty and the ease of going with God. See, when you get in the river with God, you run with the current. And when you're moving with the current, you move at the speed of God. And sometimes God begins to move you faster, faster than what you could have gone on your own. Some of you looking at your life now, you say, ever since I got in this church, everything has changed. My life was jacked up. It was tore up before I got here. But what you did is you got in the river. You moved where God had for you. You moved to the place for God to feed you. You moved to the place for God to grow you. You moved to the place for God to mature you. And God says, I'm about to awaken dreams. I'm about to show you things. I'm about to manifest what I prophesied over you. I'm about to manifest it. Every word that I declare, it's coming. This is a season, but you gotta move with me. Ooh, don't be like the children of Israel. Don't listen to the reports. Some people you gotta get out of your life and out of your ears. Numbers 13, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land. They start talking about a promise. The land we travel through and explore will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. Look at you thinking you're insignificant when God called you powerful. How crazy is that? And that's what they thought too. How do you know what they were thinking? Were you in their mind? No, get your mind right. I don't care if God sent me to a place. I don't care how big you look, how bold you look, how bad you look, how anointed you are. God got an anointing on me too, baby. If God wants me here, he gave me the power to be here. He has a reason that he needs me to be here. And I'm going to do what he called me to do. I don't have time to listen to what you're saying.
In the 14th chapter, then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus, a protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted amongst themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. If you're not careful, you'll allow others to contaminate you with their personal agenda so you can join them in their failure. I don't have time to fail with you. I want to feast on prosperity. I want to feast on purpose. I want to feast on the plan of God. I want to feast on abundance. You can fail all by yourself. Shut your mouth. Don't talk to me because I don't have time to fail with you. People can be so foolish that they reimagine and rethink what bondage really felt like when they want to excuse themselves from the plan of God. They start reimagining, oh, it was not that bad. They fed us 3 times a day in Egypt. They made sure that we had a little water to drink when we were in Egypt. And you were also in slavery, you big stupid. You mean to tell me that God brought you to a Red Sea and parted it? See, when they were moving with God, it didn't matter what obstacles got in front of them. They look at the Red Sea and people would have looked and said, oh, there you go, your stopping point. You thought you were going to get free. You thought you were going to get your liberty. You thought, but they were moving with God. They were following what the leader said. Where you want to go? Okay. All of a sudden, the Red Sea opened up. When you move with God, the impossible becomes possible. But it can only happen when you move with God. Somebody shout, it's time to move. You do your move and trust God with his move. Hallelujah. Here's the order. God speaks, you what?
Obey.
And God does.
Yeah.
God speaks, you what?
Obey.
And God does. God speaks, you what?
Obey.
And God does. Standing if you'd all over this place.